Thank you so much, Lord. Lord, thanks for the friends that we've gathered here today, Lord, on a Wednesday night. God, I know we have so many other things going on. But Lord, I pray that all of our students here would rest knowing that, God, your word says that if we seek you first, then the rest will be taken care of by you. So God, as everybody who's here to search and seek you out with their whole heart, God, that you would bless them, Lord, tonight by helping them finish schoolwork, helping them finish whatever it is they else have to do, whatever they forsook, Lord God, to come here and to follow you and to do your work and to hear what you have to say tonight, God. Please bless their night, Lord. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So open up your Bibles, you guys, to Galatians chapter 3. You know, I was thinking about what to teach tonight because we're in the middle of a kind of, you know, we just finished up the summer series, and then we're starting Treasure Church next week, next Wednesday. So I was kind of in between a lag on deciding what I was going to do, and I was thinking, you know what, I just don't know what to do. So I was just reading the Bible, just hoping that God would point something out to me, and he really did. He pointed out this message that I have for you guys today that starts in Galatians chapter 3, which is amazing, which we're going to talk about freedom, just like the picture looks like. We're going to break free from the law and from works tonight. So on August 28th, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. gave a very, very famous and significant speech at the Lincoln Memorial. Much of you probably know this one. This is the I Have a Dream speech. And it was a very definitive moment in the civil rights movement. He delivered it to over 200,000 supporters and was considered to be one of the greatest and notable speeches ever made in human history. And at the end, here's some of the things that he said at the very end of his I Have a Dream speech. It says, "When we let freedom ring, we will let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city. We will be able to speed up the day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing, 'Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.'" Free at last, speaking of the equality that he was hoping that each person would eventually come to know. Like he said, black to white to Gentile to Jew to Protestant to Catholic, everybody. This is what his hope was. Well, a couple of years later, unfortunately, Martin Luther King was assassinated. But his words and his legacy live on forever. Much like another man, but a famous man, our Savior, Lord Jesus, a man who also was murdered. But from the cross 2,000 years ago, his last words weren't "free at last," but "it is finished." And to all of us, those words were speaking of the task that Jesus came, was given up by his Father to die on a cross, a perfect and blameless sacrifice. A perfect and blameless sacrifice, speaking of how he would save the lost and oppressed. Jesus didn't say "free at last," but he said "it was finished." And that's speaking and proclaiming that all men can have freedom from sin, from the law, and from works. That's what Jesus came to do. It was all possible by the blood of Christ. Everything changed after Jesus died. We would no longer have to be slaves to sin. We no longer have to be lost and oppressed. We can be found people who are found through the blood of Jesus Christ. You guys know what this is like. You ever tried to probably really hard to impress somebody? Maybe you've tried to impress your parents or to appease them, right? Maybe you're like, listen, I'm going to do what my parents want. I'm going to make them happy. I want to really make them proud of me. I really, really want to work hard to do those things. And so you work really hard to do what your parents want to get them to be happy with you, to please with them. Or maybe you guys have tried it with God. Maybe you've tried to please God at one time, thinking, hey, if I just come to church and I just sing the songs and I look real good, that God will be really happy. And then if God's really happy, then he'll do things for me, right? Because if God's happy, then that's really good. And most of the time, we try to live up to a certain expectation that our family or God has given for us. But let's face it, we're humans, so we only can go as far as we possibly can. We're not perfect. So many times, we can't live up to the standards that our family has for us and that God has for us. And it's for this reason that God has sent his only son, because he knew that by the law, by obeying commandments, that we could never attain perfection. I mean, think about if God judged all of us right now, just on the Ten Commandments. There's a lot more than that, okay? And remember that having only one sin in your life is worthy of death, worthy of hell, says the Bible, okay? So think about where you're at right now if God were to judge you just on the Ten Commandments. we would all be doomed, right? Even if you break one rule, there's nobody here who hasn't sinned once. We've sinned many a times. So how could God punish us for one broken sin? How could he do something like that? Well, today we're going to get an understanding of what freedom in Christ means. And we're going to look at a group of people who are still trying to please God by following a bunch of rules. And maybe some of you guys today are still trying to follow a bunch of rules. Well, we're going to look at two questions that the book of Galatians asks and Paul the apostle who wrote it. And then we're going to answer these according to what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So the first point is going to be called question number one. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Do you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing and faith? I love how Paul starts this off saying, oh, foolish Galatians, you fools. That's how he starts it off. It reminded me the other day during the girls' lock-in, the guys were here because we were keeping security, whatever if you want to call it that. We were mostly just eating pizza and watching movies and student ministries. But while we were in student ministries, Jesse and Nate were there, and Jesse started off a conversation by saying, hey, Nate, when you die, can I have a... And he was like going to continue, and Nate's like, why would you ever start a sentence like that? Like, why would you ever start a question or something saying, hey, when you die, like, you know what I mean? It's like, that's a messed up way to start a thing, right? And that was the kind of the same thing Paul was doing, right? He starts off this little part in chapter 3 saying, you fools, like, whoa, like he calls you, like, would you guys open, what if you opened a letter and it's like, hey, fool, like, but not like that way, but like, hey, fool, like you're dumb or something, you know? Well, many of the Galatians were fools, you guys. They really were. Galatia is modern day Turkey, but back then when Paul was writing, it was a Roman province. Paul came to Galatia on his second and third mission trips, okay? He came with two people, Silas and Timothy, and in fact, in Galatians 4:13, it says Paul actually stayed in Galatia longer than he was going to because of an illness, so he was there for a long time. So Paul later came back on his third mission trip, his final mission trip, and some crazy things happened while Paul was in Galatia, okay? Because that's what we're reading today, is the book of Galatians written to Galatia. When they showed up, they did what they normally did, okay, which was preach the good news, right? They went to synagogues, went to all over the city, and told people about Christ. And in Lystra, which is actually a part of Galatia, they found a crippled man, and Paul ends up healing him. He says, stand up. The guy stands up. So the Galatians who saw this, who saw Paul and Barnabas, the guy who he was with, they saw him heal this crippled man. And so what do? They think that they are gods themselves. They think that Paul and Barnabas is Zeus and Aramae. They think that they're both gods. And so that says that the multitude is searching after them, trying to sacrifice to them because they think it's Zeus and Aramae. So they're like, hey, let's go throw some dead animals at them. Maybe they'll be happy and they'll heal some other people, right? Which is crazy because then look what happens, okay? So after that, after they sacrifice to these guys, then the Jews show up and start saying that, hey, this Paul and Barnabas guy, they're talking about this Jesus. This is fake. You guys are crazy. Hey, you know what we need to do? These guys are speaking blasphemy. Let's stone them. So they end up stoning Paul, and they're pretty sure he's dead. So they drag him outside of the city where they believe he's dead, and they leave him there to die because they believe he was speaking blasphemy against the Lord. Could you imagine that? And then here's what happens. After he gets stoned, he lays there like he's dead because he's probably pretty close to death. He gets up after probably a little amount of time, right? And what does he do? Does he run? Does he go back home? No, he goes right back into Lystra and starts preaching the word again. That's amazing. Talk about a guy with some resilience, right? Imagine if every time you guys went to school, or how about one time? Say tomorrow you go into school and you're like, hey, dude, you should like really start thinking about life after death and what Jesus has done on the cross for you, and I want to tell you about it. And imagine they threw all these rocks at your face and you're almost dead. And then right as you got up, you went back into school and you're like, hey man, oh, I'm still alive, by the way, but I think you should still keep thinking about Jesus, right? Like, who does that, right? Only somebody who really believes that Jesus is who he is and the gospel is what it is. Because you see, where there's friction in our lives, you guys, that means we're doing something good, okay? Because here's the deal. If you're doing God's will, it's never going to be easy. Because where God's will and God's servants are working, the devil's servants are working against, right? So you guys know, listen, yeah, witnessing at your school is a hard thing. Yeah, you do get made fun of. Yeah, you do get all this friction and flack from people. That's because clearly the devil doesn't want you telling anybody about Jesus. So where friction is a good thing. And Paul the Apostle knew that. Because guess what? If he just showed up saying something, there's probably something wrong. He's probably in the wrong place if people aren't throwing stones at him, because we know that's what's going to happen. So we're going to face many hardships. But you guys can see why the Galatians were foolish. Because here they are, they've received the word of God, and then now after they've received the word of God, now they believe the Jews, so then they stone Paul, and then they try to kill him, and they take him outside of the city, and then they believe that he's a god. So it's like, wait, what's the deal? What do they believe? Because first they believe he's a god. First they believe he's just, you know, teaching the word of God. And then now they think he's a blasphemer, so they throw rocks at him. So you can see how clearly they are foolish. Because they were taken back and forth by a crowd of people, right? They made their decisions based off of what other people were saying. Some guy would just show up and be like, hey, we should stone this guy because he's speaking blasphemy. And so they're like, yeah, let's do that. Oh, but this guy's a god. Oh, yeah, he is a god. So they're like going back and forth, you know. They make their decisions not on sound biblical truth, but on what they believe, what the mob says, what the crowd says. But this is something you guys can all imagine, and not even imagine, you guys all encounter each day, okay? There's those people at school who make the decisions. There's the popular people. And some of us get caught up in that, and we think, yeah, you know, I want to make a decision for Jesus, but I'm all alone. So the crowd says that Jesus is lame, and so I'm going to go with the crowd. They seem okay, and I don't want to go against the crowd, so I'm going to go with them. But then if the crowd likes Jesus, like maybe I come to Velocity and that crowd likes Jesus, so now I'm all about Jesus. Jesus is God. And you just keep getting swayed back and forth and back and forth in your decisions. But after Paul left Galatia, there was many people who did still remain in the faith, people who still did believe that Jesus did what he did, that he did die, and that he did rose again. So the first question, let's go back to it real fast, okay? Verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of the faith? Here was the deal. Paul was asking, listen, did you receive the Spirit of God and your salvation by anything that you did? Did you yourself do anything to get salvation? Did you yourself do anything to get the Spirit? Or did you hear about Jesus, and then from hearing, you believed in that, and then therefore you had salvation because you're like, I heard that, and wow, Jesus is real. I believe that. Now you're justified by faith, okay? That's what he's asking. He's saying, hey, did you do something yourself, or did somebody tell you about God, and then you believed in him? This is what I want you guys to get out of the teaching tonight, okay? I want you to get out of this teaching how it is that you are saved, okay? I want you guys to get out how you are saved. You see, ever since Moses gave man a list of commandments to live by, God gave Moses a list of commandments to live by, of course. But when God made the law, it was for a couple of reasons, okay? Here's one of the reasons. It was because they were coming from Egypt, okay? They were coming from a place of slavery. They had no government. They had no laws. They had no rules. They were under Egyptian slave. So they didn't have their own things. And now other people were going to be governing other people. So God gave the law so that we would know how to deal with these things. We would know that, hey, listen, you can't kill somebody, because if you kill somebody, you too will die. Hey, you can't do these things. That's why one of the reasons why God gave the law. Because you guys understand, when you were born, murder was illegal, right? You guys were all born and murder was illegal in this state and in this country, right? And it'll still be illegal in 20 years and 30 years. I don't think that's ever going to change. But that's why we obey it, because there's the law and there's the consequences. And the Israelites coming out of Egyptian slavery needed to know how to operate. They had no laws, they had no rules, they had nothing. So God gave them to Moses so that he would be able to tell everybody else what the deal is. Okay? So the first reason was because they were Israelites, they were coming out of slaves, and they were in need to govern each other. You guys can understand that. I love when people say, like, we should have anarchy in America. Yeah, anarchy. Let's go put A's everywhere. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. That was big, like, when I was a kid. It really was. Like, punk bands were like, anarchy. Yeah. But it's like, could you imagine if we had anarchy? We would all be dead in weeks. Most of us in a couple days. Right? Imagine if murder was no longer illegal. You know how many weirdos are out there just waiting to murder? And the only reason they don't want to is because they don't want to go to jail. You know how many weirdos are out there want to break into somewhere, but they're just too afraid to break into a building and go to jail? Now, if that's been deregulated, that no longer is a law, then it would be insanity. So that we definitely need the law. We need the law. The law was given first to establish order, okay? Because the Israelites had none. Another reason for the law was to gauge our hearts. You see, all the things that can be found in the Ten Commandments, those are things about God, right? God says, do not murder, because God's not a murderer. God says, do not steal, because he's not a thief. God says, do not covet, because God doesn't want whatever anybody else has. It's all his, right? So those things are speaking about God. And God gave them to us because they themselves are true about God. You see this act of sanctification, okay? Understand that word. Sanctification, becoming more like Jesus, okay? That's what it is. It's your growth. It's what God has planned out from you. From you accepting the Lord to you dying is your process of sanctification. You becoming more like God, more like his characteristics, doing more of the things that he's doing. Okay? And that's what that is all about. So God gave them to us so that we could judge those. Because when we're sanctified, you guys, here's the deal. We want to become more like God. So clearly, God gives us these laws. So God says, do not steal. And we're like, okay, we want to be more like Jesus. And as we become more like Jesus, more sanctified, then not stealing just becomes part of what we do, part of who we are. So the more we are like Jesus, the more we follow the commandments. Just by following Jesus, we follow the commandments. Because think of you shall not steal, or you shall not murder, you shall not covet. When you become more like Jesus, you don't do those things because Jesus himself didn't steal, covet, or murder. So the law reveals things of our hearts and areas that we need to work on, okay? The law does that. And I'm not saying that the more you follow Jesus, that the more that eventually you're going to become perfect. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying the more you follow Jesus, eventually you'll become perfect and sinless. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the more you are sanctified, the less you sin. So the more you come like Jesus, the less you'll sin. You'll grow in righteousness and your sin life will decrease. So it's not about perfection, you guys, okay? It's about growth. So if you can tell, if you're breaking God's law, there's a disconnect there, okay? Maybe you're not studying God's word or praying enough, all right? Because if you can say, here's all these things God's asked, and wow, I'm doing a really bad job on like almost all of them. There's obviously a problem there. Because God's not saying you should be perfect, but he's saying, here's a lot of stuff here that you can say, how am I doing in this area, okay? How am I doing with this law? How am I doing at not coveting? How am I doing at not lying? How am I doing it at worshiping God as my only God with all my heart? How am I doing with that? Because when you use the commandments, it tells something about your heart. I mean, think about a criminal, right? How does a criminal know he's a criminal? Because he can, I mean, give him a list of laws that we have in Albuquerque here, and maybe he's like, oh yeah, I did park illegally, and oh yeah, I broke an entrance. Oh yeah, oh, I vandalized some property. Hey, if I'm breaking rules, then he's a thief, then he's a criminal, right? And he can learn something from these laws that he has, and it tells him something about himself. So the law is used to bring order and to gauge our hearts. Because if you guys look down at what God asks you and you see that you're failing in everything, then there's obviously a disconnect there. There's something wrong there. Just like the criminal knows he's breaking the law by looking at the laws he's broken, same with us. We can tell if we're not following God by the laws that we have been broken. Because if you fall short in an area in your life, it doesn't mean you're doomed, you guys, okay? It doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, I don't want to read my Bible. I am doomed. I am forever gone, and you know what I mean? I'm banished. It doesn't mean that. It means you need repentance, okay? That means someday, say you wake up and you're like, dude, I do not want to read my Bible. And I know that I'm called to read my Bible, and I know that I'm called to seek the Lord with all my heart, but I don't really want to. Okay, here's what you need to do in that situation. You need to repent of that, because that's a... All right? Repentance isn't a bad thing. Remember, we talked about this last weekend, right? Repentance starts your life. It starts the catalyst of moving things. So you say, God, I don't want to read the word today. God, can you change my hearts, change my desires to somebody who wants to read their Bible, to more like your son, Jesus? And you can ask God for a changed heart. Here's the most important thing, okay, you guys? Here's the most important thing that I want you to remember about the law. The law was never meant for salvation, okay? God never meant that you would follow the law and get to go to heaven. Okay? He never meant it for that. The law was meant for us to follow, but it didn't mean that if we followed it, we would all of a sudden become saved people who are going to heaven. All right? That's not what the law was ever meant for, because we could never do it. We could never follow the law perfectly. And so if God made it about the law, we'd all be doomed. There would be nobody in heaven right now. We touched on this a little bit last weekend, you guys, but we learned from John the Baptist that he was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious elite of those times, and he was saying that they didn't truly want to repent. They didn't really want to change their lifestyle. They weren't living for God because they loved God. They were living for God out of fear of God. And we said true repentance starts in your heart. So following the law doesn't bring salvation, you guys. I need you to understand that. You'll never make it to heaven, you guys, by not cussing or not going to a party or staying away from drugs and drinking, okay? Those things don't get you to heaven. Those things are good things not to do, but those things in themselves, just following laws, obeying your mom and dad, those things will not get you to heaven. You can be blameless in the law and still never make it to heaven, okay? Because it's not about that. It's not about following rules. It's about faith in Jesus Christ alone. And Paul, the writer of Galatians, understood this better than anyone, because he himself in Philippians, the book, said, according to the law, I'm blameless. He said, I've never made a mistake in the law. And so if he himself is saying, hey, I need Jesus, and I was perfect in the law, then those of us who are clearly not perfect definitely need Jesus, okay? So you can see why Paul calls the Galatians foolish. Because just like the Jews did around Jesus' time, they relied on their own selves, they relied on their own self-righteousness, they relied on them following the laws and making them seem so much better than other people because they followed the law. And you know what? God talked about these people in Isaiah. He said, these are the people that praise me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. Right? You guys can understand that. Isn't it better to have somebody who loves Jesus full-heartedly and making some mistakes than some guy who's like always carrying around his Bible, like, oh, I'm so holy and you're so, you know what I mean? Makes himself seem like he's so holy. Like it's all about him. Like, oh, he is so good at holding the law. Oh, he's so good at not cussing or obeying his parents. He's so good at those things. Wow, look at you. And he wants us all to marvel at him. Jesus talked about people like this. He said in Matthew 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win one convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice the son of hell as you do. Meaning, here's these Pharisees who are like all about the law. They love telling people that this is what they need to do. And they need to just throw burdens on them and throw laws on them. So people are like, oh my gosh, I can't even walk because I have so many laws that I'm trying to follow. I can't even follow Jesus freely. I can't do it. So Jesus is saying here's these Pharisees and scribes. They go to these great lengths to save somebody, to go find somebody and say, hey, you need to repent. And then the person's like, oh, you're right, I do need to. And then they say, cool, now here's a trash bag full of rules that I'm going to throw on your back. And now they become just like another Pharisee and Sadducee, someone who has no freedom, no truth. All they're doing is following the law for their own self-righteousness. Paul had gone to Galatia. He told the people about Jesus. He told them that Jesus came to free us from the burden of the law. But now the Galatians, these what he calls fools, were reverting back to their old ways and traditions. They were turning back to self-righteousness, thinking that by some way themselves, they can be holy before God. See, the Christians in Galatia were in danger of becoming just like the Jews, people who thought that they were justified themselves by what they've done. Okay? Justified, okay? In theological terms means to be found holy and righteous before God. Okay? So they thought that they could be justified or holy and righteous before God by what they themselves have done. And this is the question that Paul was asking. Paul was saying, listen, if you couldn't do anything to attain your salvation, then why are you walking around making it seem as if you yourself have done something for this salvation? He's saying, why don't you just accept it as the gift that it is from your Father who loves you and said, I will myself will be the sacrifice, right? Why wouldn't you just do that instead of walking around making it seem like they themselves have actually done something? And there's something all of us must know tonight, okay? That there is nothing we could ever do to be righteous or holy before God ourselves. Okay? So if there's any of you guys out there that are like, hey, it's all good. I have no relationship with God, but I go feed the poor. I give my money to the poor. I I'm a good listener. I do all of these things. Okay. There's no way that that's going to get you to heaven, okay? Getting to heaven is about a relationship with Jesus through faith with him, okay? I want you guys to never think that you can work hard enough to have God find favor with you. God finds favor with you just by accepting his son. It's that easy, okay? So don't ever think that I have to follow a million laws for God to love me or for me to be able to go to heaven. You can't serve the poor. You can't do anything, you guys. You can't read the Bible every single day and expect that that will get you to heaven. It's not that that gets you to heaven. There's only one way to be looked at as justified, and it can be found in verses 6 through 9. Okay? I'm going to read verses 6 through 9, still chapter 3. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that the only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed, so that those who are of faith are blessed and are blessed with believing with Abraham. He's saying, listen, even Abraham himself was not justified by the law. Abraham didn't have the law. Abraham had some statutes of the Lord that God told him, of course, but Moses came after that. Moses was the one who got the law, who put it onto, you know, to rock and paper, whatever they used, you know, and gave it to everybody else. So he's saying, if Abraham himself was not justified by the law, then why are you guys walking around thinking that you are? Because if Abraham was justified by faith, then aren't we the same? Because we are saved and we have salvation, okay? Remember this. We are saved and we have salvation for no other reason besides God sent his son to die in our place, and if we believe, then therefore we believe that he really did die, he really is the Savior, then we are accounted as righteousness because of the faith we have in Jesus. Okay? That simple. It's really easy. Right? There's nothing you can do. You're not working towards it. God said, no, the only way I can look at you as somebody who's righteous is by you accepting my son, because when you do that, then I see my son who's perfect. But you yourself, there's nothing you could ever do for that. It's called meritless salvation, meaning there's nothing you can do. I know I'm saying it, but I need you guys to remember that. There's nothing you could do to pay God back. It's not like, give an example. Maybe you say this guy paid off a debt for you for $1 million. And he's like, okay, now for the rest of your life, you got to pay me back that $1 million or you're going to hell. Right? It's not like that. God's not saying, hey, I paid off your debt. Now work for me. Work, work, march, and like whipping you, you know, in the back or something like that, saying, do more stuff for me. Work harder for me. Love me more. He's not doing that. He's saying, no, I already took care of it. Believe in my son and be sanctified, be more like him, and then the law is taken care of. No worries. You don't even have to worry about that stuff. You don't have to sit here worrying about all the little things you have to do. Worry about loving Jesus. Worry about being more like him. Because God, being the gracious father that he is, said, I myself will pay the cost. And there's nothing that man can do to be righteous before me except for accept my son. And this is the reason I felt called to teach you guys this message tonight. Because I don't want you thinking that sometimes God is like your parents, okay? Like, oh no, I got a bad grade, I snuck out of my house, I did something wrong, and now I'm grounded. And now for the next 2 months, I have to work my tail off doing chores, picking up dog poop or something, you know, to get back on my mom's good side, right? I don't want you guys thinking that God works like that, because he doesn't, okay? When you mess up, we ask God for forgiveness. And then God is like, okay, you're forgiven. If you're true and you really are asking for forgiveness, bam, gone, out of my mind. Let's continue on. Let's continue on with your sanctification. Let's continue on with making you more like my son. You don't have to sit there and be like, oh, God's mad at me, you know? Man, he's, you know what, dude, this whole week's going to be a mess because I sinned and now God's going to punish me for it because I didn't go to church, man, and I didn't read my Bible today. You know, it's not about that, you guys. It's about loving God and wanting to do these things. It's about saying, I know Jesus did die for me, and therefore the least I want to do for him is serve him. You're not obligated to serve him. by serving him, you won't make it to heaven. You'll make it to heaven by faith, by just believing. It's that easy. All you can do is accept that grace that God has given to us. The law was never made so you could work your way to heaven. Jesus said that that was hypocrisy. He said that if you have an outward signs and you have all these outward things, but your heart isn't in it, then you're a liar and you're a hypocrite. You're a fake. Because I don't want you guys thinking that if you just come to church and you just pay attention, that it's all good, right? I don't ever need to talk to Jesus. I don't need to have a relationship with him, because as long as I'm reading, I look like, I pray some, vain prayers where they're empty, I'll be good. It's not about that, though. That doesn't satisfy God. God says, accept my son, and that's it. Quit trying to follow a million rules, trying to be perfect. There's nothing you can do. I don't want you guys thinking that if you just behave, that God will love you or give you what you want. All right? Because so many times we think that, hey, I've been a good Christian, so I should have a good couple of days coming up. And then when something bad happens to you, you think, what's the deal? How is it possible that God's doing this to me? Because I've been a good Christian. But then you've missed the point of the whole gospel if you think that. You've missed the whole point, because Jesus came so that we might have a relationship to God. Not so that we can try to use God as a puppet, saying, hey, God, I will give you vain prayers and I will give you 5 hours of my week to go serve the poor, and in return, you will give me an iPod and friends or something. You know what I mean? It doesn't work like that, you guys. It's about him. It's not about us. You see? He was the one who paid the price. And so we serve God and we follow the law, not out of obligation. Not out of obligation, but because we love him. And because we get to go to heaven. And what an amazing thing he's done for people like you and me to offer that kind of stuff to us. But we do it for the love of Jesus, who willingly took our sin, and not for ourselves. Jesus Christ himself is now living through us. So because of what he did, we get to go to heaven. Because of what he did. Okay? Never can you guys do anything. You're not under the law, you guys. You are free through God's grace. You are free. But this brings up a question. If we're free under God's grace, then is it okay to sin? And if Jesus paid the price, then what's the point of the law? This brings us to our second question, which is Galatians verse 19. And this is question number two. Imagine this. Imagine, say, maybe you guys do take Spanish or maybe you guys don't. Imagine you knew nothing about the Spanish language. And it's your first day of school and you go to the Spanish classroom and there's the teacher and you show up and she's like, we're going to have a pop quiz today. You're like, wait, what? What do you mean we're going to have a pop quiz? Yeah, I'm going to just test you guys on some Spanish verbs and some conjugations. You'd be like, but I've never studied Spanish in my entire life. How could you hold me accountable for something that you never told me? You would probably say that. And one commentator said the same thing about the law. He said, William Barclay said that where there is no law, there is no sin. Meaning that if God never told us what he expected and what he wanted, then we would never know what was wrong, right? You guys can imagine that, right? If God never said, honor your mother and father, then you probably would be like, hey, lady, make me some sandwiches or something. You know what I mean? Like, you'd probably not honor her or treat her well. But God has told us in his law, hey, you should honor your father and mother because I'm God, And I can say those things because I created this whole place. So God tells us what he expects of us, okay? And it's like the Spanish class. God wouldn't just say, you're going to hell, without ever letting us know what he expects of us, never letting us know what the law has to do with, and things of that nature. So if God never told us, then you would never... there would be nothing wrong with disobeying your parents, because you would never know that it's wrong. But that's why God has given the law. He has told us that so we know what is right and what is wrong. I'm going to go to verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of the transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through the angels by the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been given by the law. But the scriptures has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. So the law told us not only of God's perfection, but our imperfection. You see, God gives all of these laws, and he gives all of these because he himself can uphold and follow these things. Now, you say, maybe, I'm sorry, where am I? Now you say, could God is the perfectness of the law? It doesn't matter because there's no way that we could ever serve the law. Even if all of us were perfect in the law, there's no way that this could give us salvation. Because the Bible says itself that he who says he has no sin within him is a liar. So the Bible's very clear on that. He says that all of you have sinned. So perfection and salvation by the law is impossible. We are all sinners. We could never do that. Because if God in nature is the law, then how can us as sinful law breakers ever hang out with God? We needed a person who could say, hey, here's sinful man and here's perfect God, and let's bring them together. Because I'm righteous enough to bring God in, and I'm a man so I can bring man in. And that's what God did through the man and the God of Christ Jesus. The other question is, why don't we just sin if we're saved by grace? Well, Paul answers that in Romans 6. He says, why would we continue to sin if we're new creations? He says, hey, sin is part of your old self. So if you've died and that's been put to death with Christ on the cross, then why would you raise the old self again? You're a completely new person. Therefore, a new person is now made new through Christ. And you, believe it or not, you guys, you are a new creation, okay? And when you accept the Lord God, you are no longer yourself, but you are Christ Jesus living through you. That's amazing to think about. Therefore, why continue sinning to your old self? But here's the deal. It doesn't mean perfection, okay? I don't want you guys to ever think that it's about perfection, because it's not. It's just saying you'll be sinning less when you're a new person. No longer is the law something we do out of obligation or because we are worried that God will strike us down if we don't follow his law. We do it because we know God knows what's best for us. You guys know that. Your parents tell you things and God tells us things for what's best, right? My mom said, don't go outside with a metal baseball bat during a thunder and lightning storm, right? Because, not because she wanted to make a bunch of rules for me and so I was like, another rule, but because she didn't want me to die. Right? So the same thing is with God. God says, hey, don't commit adultery. Not because God wants to give you a lot of laws, because no, you know what's best for your relationship with your future wife and husband? Is to never commit adultery on them. Right? God gave those for our protection. That's why God gave the law. That's why we have it. So by becoming more like Jesus, we follow the law naturally. Okay? Instead of sitting there saying, I shouldn't sin. I shouldn't sin. I shouldn't sin. We say, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to be more like you, Jesus. And Jesus is not a thief. So therefore, our desires to steal are lessened. Okay, we still have sinful nature, so we still have desires to do that. But it's lessened. It's not the same as it once was when we were unsaved. We're free to love and enjoy Christ without feeling the weighted down by the law. All we have to do is follow Jesus freely, you guys, okay? And accept his gift of salvation. I think Paul says it best in Galatians 4, verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amazing. Sums it all up, you guys. We're no longer under the bondage of having to follow all these rules. We're freely able to follow Christ. And in return, by just following Christ, the rest will come easy. We don't have to even think about those things. We just think about what Jesus wants and what Jesus does and becoming more like him. And in doing that, we follow the law without even having to think about it. You know, there was a time in my life, you guys, when I thought that I myself could appease God. I thought, it's cool. If I just go to church on Sunday, then the rest of the week I can live like a pagan. I can live like a crazy person. I can do whatever I want. And I think about how sad that was, right? Because that was the whole point of Jesus coming, was to free me from that feeling of I'm burdened and I have to do these things, right? That was the whole reason of Jesus' death on the cross, to free us from this so that we don't have to ever rely on our own efforts, because we can never be right before God. And I want you guys to remember that. You can never be right before God All you can do is be, the only way to be right before God is to accept what he did for you through Christ Jesus. And those of you guys who feel like church is all about laws and the Bible is all about binding you up with a bunch of rules that I don't want to follow, it's completely wrong. Because he's the one who fulfilled the law. Jesus was the one who did it, and now we're freely able to love him. We don't have a dream like Martin Luther King did, okay? We have the reality that Christ has come, has died, has risen again, and now it's up to us to freely love him and be thankful for that. That's what we can do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the free gift of salvation. God, I just pray that we'd all remember, Lord, that there's nothing we can do. God, we can't work harder. God, we can't give more. We can't do anything. All we can do is love Jesus more. If we could be boiled down to one thing, it's be more like my son by accepting and loving him. God, thank you for what you've done, not what we've done. We can't do anything. We are but horrible sinners, God, who deserve nothing. But you, by being so gracious, has loved us and saved us. God, I ask that you would just, anybody here who feels like they're burdened by laws and rules, God, would know the freedom that comes with you, the freedom in following you in complete love and devotion. God, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If you guys have any prayer requests, please fill them out, put them in the black box, or else I'll see you this weekend. God bless.